The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live, and if you're so inclined, you give me a call. All you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. And tomorrow, I'll not be on the air. I'm going to be in Draper, Utah, which is just south of Salt Lake City. So I'll be there. I'm going to be speaking on the Trinity tomorrow night, and I plan to have some handouts and a slide thing, just do a 20-minute intro on what the Trinity is, and if people are there, we'll see if they show up or not, because it's a Friday at 5 o'clock, so who knows. This is kind of an impromptu thing to do anyway. And if people are there, then what I'll do is answer questions as well. So if you want to show up, if you do want to get there, and if you want to meet me tomorrow night or be there at the Utah Christian Resource Center, Utah Christian Resource Center. It's on the CARM website. All you have to do is just go to carm.org/calendar, and the information you'll need is right there. And I'll be speaking on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock on what do we need to know to defend the Christian faith. So I'll be going through some of that stuff there, and going through the basics of what I do and how to do stuff and stuff like that. All right. Hey, if you want to give me a call, like I said, 877-207-2276. All right. I guess you guys can hear the audio now, can't you? Right? Yeah. Okay. I forgot to do one last switch. There's so many things I have to do right when I get ready for the show. Sometimes I miss. And that's just what happens, how it is. All right. So everything's working. If you want to participate in the show, but not by calling in or even emailing, you can go to rumble.com/Matt Slick Live. And in there, it's all one word, Matt Slick Live. And a bunch of people, we chat and have fun. It's a lot of fun. It is. So there you go. All right. Now, tomorrow, like I said, I will not be live. So what I'm going to probably do is read some hate mail today, because I love hate mail. Also, last night, I was... as I do this frequently, I get online and teach, debate, argue, whatever you want to call it. And I do it in different rooms and different venues. I was in Clubhouse. I was in Discord. And on Facebook, what I'll do is I go through Facebook and I'll see the idolatry posts of the Roman Catholics. I'll appear a picture of Mary there. And they'll have a prayer to Mary, and all these people say amen, and I just write in, stop the idolatry. It's what I say all the time when I say it, just stop the idolatry. And I've been doing that. I've posted that 100 times. I've been doing it. So you know what, others, you could do that too. You see when they have a Catholic thing of praying to Mary, Mary's this, without, you can't go to him without Mary, all this stupidity. And I just try to stop the idolatry, because it is idolatry. The reason I'm bringing it up is because last night I was talking to some Roman Catholics last night, and I'm telling you, you know, when the cult mind, is set free, to be cultic, that's what was happening last night. And I'm telling you, it's so sad. It is so sad. The truth of God's word is there, but they submit it all to the Catholic Church. Eastern Orthodox do it too. But anyway, it's just what I do. And my notes on Catholicism are over 200 pages now. A lot of notes, a lot of stuff. And I was thinking it's probably going to end up about 300 pages when I'm done. It's all indexed. It's you know, I have table of contents. It's going to have all this stuff. And I've been working on it for years. And so I'm thinking I may pretty soon here put it out as a PDF or something like that for people to purchase, because it's a lot of work that I've been doing in this thing, a lot, analyzing scriptures. I got almost 160 scriptures that the Catholics have used for whatever reasons, and analyzed them and given their claim and their responses to it. And I got quotes from Trent. I got it's just so much. The Catholic Church is just incredible. I don't know what it is, but I enjoy talking to Catholics. Maybe it's because I get to preach the gospel and teach the truth, and I always love teaching the truth. Okay, so if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. And tomorrow, like I said, I plan, Lord willing, if the traffic allows, get there in time, it should be no problem, to speak in Draper, at the Utah Christian Research Center. Utah Christian Research Center. And it's with MRM, MormonismResearchMinistry.org. So, or is it .com? I don't know which one it is now. I got to think because, let's see, MRM.org. Yeah, that's what it is. Just like karmas.org. So you can type in the Research Center. Well, I'm doing it right now just to see what happens. Research Center. You can hear me typing. And yeah, there it is. Yeah, see, and guess the address and all that stuff. I guess you got to get the notes. Resource, yeah, there it is. So, anyway, I'll be there tomorrow night, Lord willing, and Saturday morning, Lord willing. And so I'd love to meet you if any of you are out there and you want to come on out. I know, 5 o'clock is awfully, it's kind of early. I mean, I'd be doing it at 7. I would have it at 7, me, just me, because I like being up late. And a lot of people don't get here till 7 in my house when we do Bible studies and things like that. It takes time. And I would be doing things later, too, like 1 o'clock. Bill and Eric are listening. 1 o'clock is when I would have people show up. But then they say people walk in and out. They got to do it before the I don't know. They know. They're smarter than I am in every way. Hope Bill didn't hear that, because then he'll quote me and that he's smarter than me. So, we'll see. We'll see. If Terry's listening, I know she's smiling right now because she does that. She listens. All right. Hey. Okay. We've got one caller coming in and three open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to, here we go, Alberto from Georgia. Alberto, welcome. You're on the air, man.
Yes. Good evening, Master Lake. My question is, those people who get left behind, and then when Christ comes and reigns for 1,000 years on the earth, millennial period. So people who got venereal diseases or got missing limbs, arms and legs, will they get completely healed during the millennial reign of Christ? The diseases or their legs will go back to normal?
The Bible
millennial
reign
of Christ or not?
The Bible doesn't say. Now, that's from that view, from the premillennial view. I don't know of any scriptures that could be used in the premillennial view to substantiate the idea that people's limbs grow back and things like that. Okay, so maybe it happens, but I don't know. Maybe you go see where Jesus is and he heals you. I don't know from that position, with those who hold to that would say. I don't hold to that position, but, so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
So there's no way. Okay. So can I say that during the Christ reign and be perfect environment, perfect, atmosphere, perfect fruit, everything. So but when he reigns for 1,000 years, was the building still being modern during the time of Christ, or there'll be... Or will he just make everything all nature, just completely nature, with trees only and mountains?
That won't happen. From what I understand in the premillennial view, that won't happen until the 1,000 years are over, new heavens and new earth are made. So I would assume that there's still buildings and stuff from that perspective. Maybe someone who's an expert in that can call me up and say, yeah, we plan to still have buildings here and roads, and people can do stuff, just live a long time and be peace on earth for 1,000 years. Which would be nice. I don't believe that's going to happen, but...
Okay. Okay, but I got a quick question, too. Some people teach that the United States won't... that they're not found in the Book of Revelation, nor the Book of Revelation. Some people teach that,
What happened? Yeah, it says when
some people
all
say,
the
some
nations...
I heard a preacher... Mm-hmm.
All the nations are gathered against Israel, so the United States is in that. Okay.
Is in that? Okay. Because
yeah.
I heard one preacher say yes, and I heard other preachers say no, because they won't find it nowhere.
No. It's there's nothing in there that hints at a specific nation of the United States. Okay, so generically it says all the nations will be gathered against Israel at one point. That means the United States.
Okay.
The way the terrorist organization called the Democratic Party is working in our country. I can see what that happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's their goal. Basically, right now, they're trying to convert this country to a communist country, correct? The Democrat Party is trying to convert this country to a communist country, correct?
Well, yeah, they support all that is evil, homosexuality, transgender, confusion, abortion. They promote leftist policies. They open the border to let invasions come in, raising taxes, brainwashing the children, wanting to confuse everything. I mean, it's like a terrorist organization. It's what you do if you want to destroy the country. And that's what terrorists want to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like the left is like a terrorist organization, the Democratic Party. That's my opinion, okay? So am I going to get banned for saying that? Who knows? I mean, I get so tired of the left because they're so intolerant, you know? But anyway, go ahead.
Okay. And have you heard this organization is called Gays Against Groomers?
Yes. Yes,
so they're not in favor of the LGBT movement. So a lot of them, the LGBT movement, according to them, is getting smaller, it's shrinking.
Well, I do know that within the Alphabet group, there are people who have what we would call a modicum of decency, if I say that, almost tongue in cheek, where they don't want certain things taught to children. There are all kinds of people. There's a variety. Some are they're homosexual, a lesbian, whatever, and they don't believe in pushing this on children. And so there's that, you know, that's better than wanting their children to be brainwashed into this leftist demonic ideology. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the people who are not gay, they want to push that on children. That's even more evil than they are, right?
Well, yeah.
Unfortunately,
you think about
right?
This. I watch a lot of YouTube, by far, more than anything else, and I like to watch shorts, and I'll go through 100 a night, 200 a night, and, maybe 100 a night. And so a lot of times they'll show the really young, I think they're called Gen Z, they have trouble telling time on an analog clock, you know, opening can openers. They don't know how many states there are in the country, you know, just that they're just so undereducated. And they can't think critically. You know, how many dimes are in a dollar? Mm-hmm. And you see, what? Not that all of them are like that, but this is the kind of thing that's going on. You know, back when I was in school, I took physics, trigonometry, chemistry, language, and I wanted to study. And so, but they don't seem to. They just want to be on their phones and watch the Kardashians. And that's all they care about. And that's exactly what the enemies of our country would want to occur with the youth. They have no concern for history, no concern for righteousness, no concern for moral truth. Their body counts are immense, if you know what that means. They're very promiscuous. And these are not the kind of people that can run the country and be productive. So, you know, I've seen videos of them complaining they have to work 40-hour weeks. Are you kidding me? How do you do that?
Yeah.
And so, not all of them are like that, okay? And some of them are very decent people. And I've seen videos of that as well. But I'm just saying that this kind of stuff is coming up. And so our country is in a lot of trouble, and it really is. And that's why I say to people, prepare and go to my website. You can look up a prepper's list of things to have. You know? Okay, there's the music, buddy. Okay, buddy? All right, man. Thanks.
Okay, I'll ask another thing.
Oh, okay, another question? Okay, hold on. Hold on for after the break then. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, it's 877-207-2276. And if you want to email me, you can just send an email to info@carm.org. And just put in the subject line, radio question, radio comment. Let's get to Alberto back. Okay, you're back on, buddy.
Yeah, I'm back. You mentioned a lot of stuff about the young people, right? I think it's the body of Christ's fault because they're not reaching their community, not reaching the young people. I try to reach the young people as much as possible, I write about, I go to a Dollar Tree, buy these little booklets for 100, comes 100 sheets on them. And I write your website. I write Search of Scriptures website, BBN Radio website, CSA Radio website, and Christian Financial Concepts. Yeah, I try to reach them, you know, different topics, you know, on the bus, different age groups, older, young, whatever, you know, so reach them the gospel. The churches, me personally, at the years I've been here, I rarely see churches doing no evangelism at all. They're not trying to reach the community. They're not trying to. I see some sometimes that on Sunday they're doing the park, you know, they give their Bible study, they give Bibles away, they give them, you know, clothes into the home and stuff like that. And sometimes I see them play music in the park, you know, give them food. But majority of what I've seen in the years, no churches don't do evangelism in the communities. And you know, that's why, like, young people don't know much about, you know, like you said, about stuff that's going on, what they're supposed to know about. So they don't know the truth, and the church is not reaching them.
So you know, so a question?
That's why. My question is why? But my question is why churches are not doing what they're supposed to be doing? Why?
Well, if they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, the only reason would be because they're not obeying the scriptures. That would be it. The Bible says, "Go out and make disciples." It says to make converts of everybody you can. Pick up your cross, follow after Jesus. That's what it says, and so we're supposed to do that. And if they're not doing it, because they're not obeying what the scriptures teach, that's why they're not doing it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Just a quick question: have you ever seen the Constitutional Christian video online with Mike Huckabee and David Barton? It is
no
the Constitutional Christian.
No,
we just watch it. You have a chance. Really good. It's called a Constitutional Christian.
Okay. So all right. Stuff for me to do. Okay, sounds good. All right.
I know. But just check it out. It's really good. It tells you the state of the America we in. Why we in now? All right. Thank you.
All right. Okay, buddy.
Okay.
Okay. God bless.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye. All right. We have nobody waiting right now, so I think what I'm going to have to do here is get into some hate mail and some wacko mail. We got to do that on Fridays sometimes, and won't be on the air tomorrow, Friday. So let's just see. Let's see. You guys need a psychiatrist. Now you have proven to be anything but fundamentalist since there is no sarcasm. Okay. You know, it's tough sometimes when I'm focusing on someone's criticism and they don't make any sense and I'm trying to make head or tails out of it. And so many times, you know, I just can't seem to find any sense in some of this stuff. I mean, you have proven to be wrong, be anything but fundamentalist since there is no sarcasm. So I guess there must be a book called Second Sarcasm? I don't know. Anyway, that's good news. The bad news is you guys are incoherent in your so-called Christian ministry. See a psychiatrist and take your prescription as ordered, please. I don't want you guys to be asylumed. That's pretty good. I like that. Don't be asylumed. Okay. Let's see what else. The same guy. You need psychiatric therapy. You are preoccupied with the spiritual aspects of life. Please expand your horizon so you can be healthy, functional people. You know, people like that, it's interesting because I want to ask them, and what is the standard by which you go? People don't realize they make so many mistakes, you know. You need to be functional and healthy. How do you know it's functional and healthy? How do you know? Are you going to decide for us? You can tell us. And they don't know. Let me try one more from this same guy, I think. You lose, he says. Your attempt to justify your innermost problems with your twisted ministry. Oh, let me do it again. You lose, Matt. Your attempt to justify your innermost problems with your twisted ministry is gone. Now shut down Carm or be arrested by the FBI and sentenced to prison. Wow. If you think I'm going to fall for your sick games, I turned you into the Department of Defense saying you are a threat to national security. Wow. So I'm a I'm a threat to national security. Yeah, that's right. So I could just see my in prison. Yeah, what are you in for? I guess I'm a threat to national security. Really? What'd you do? I don't know. I was teaching Bible study, and they came and took me away. What were you teaching on? Salvation in Jesus. So I guess I'm a threat to national security. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like, well, okay, there you go. Yeah, so, you know, sometimes people just don't have all their paws in their litter box. Their lint filter is only partially working, okay? Their socket wrench is stuck in neutral. You know, just so many things. Oh, wow. Oh, that bird doesn't flap, okay? That's a good one. That bird doesn't flap. That chicken the rooster doesn't crow. Okay, there you go. Oh, man. Okay, Buxman. How are you doing, buddy? Hey, you there?
Is this Matt Slick?
That's me.
Is this Matt Slick?
Yeah, it is, buddy. What's up, man?
This is Officer Buxman of the FBI. We have had tabs on you talking about Jesus, sir. You have the right to remain silent.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know what?
Oh my gosh,
you know,
man.
I'm joking about that, but in all seriousness, some of the stuff I say on the radio, I think
straight
the
up.
Biden crime family, the Democratic Party, the terrorist organization, I think it's bad, and I think people should prep. Okay, so that makes me, I guess, a white nationalist, Christian nationalist supremacist who's a threat to national security, you know? But the left, they can do any charges they want. So
they certainly can. And remember, that's what they did in Germany in the 1930s,
yep.
Matt. So
yep, that's right.
And I'm partially,
constantly.
You know, they did.
Mm-hmm. So well, a friend of mine told me today, get this. A friend of mine told me today that he's aware of some bills in the Senate or something like this in Washington D.C. where they're trying to pass a law, get something passed, that you're not allowed to use any weapons against looters and violent people who are like BLM or whoever, who are storming through towns and creating havoc. You're not allowed to use any weapons to defend yourself, apparently. I don't know about that part, but and defend property. And if you do, you can get in trouble. Yeah, it's insane. Hey, we got a break. Hold on, buddy. Hold on, okay? Folks, we'll be right back after these messages. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back. Please give me a call.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. If you want to call me, 877-207-2276. Now, you can call me those numbers, but that's not what I mean. If you want to call and talk with me, 877-207-2276. Buxman, you're back on the air, buddy.
Okay, so my question, Matt, is the armor of God. Paul does a great job laying it out there in Ephesians. Mm-hmm. But give us nuts and bolts, Matt. How do we put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness? What must a man or a woman or a child to do?
Truth is that which corresponds to the mind of God. Since God knows all things, then all that he speaks is always truth. He would never lie, Titus 1:2. So therefore, the truth is found in the Word of God and in the person of God named Jesus Christ. So you study God's Word, and you study the words of Christ, and that's how you put on the truth. That's what I do all the time. I study the Word, and I present it to people who hate the truth, like Roman Catholics, Eastern Orthodox, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, atheists, you know, evolutionists, pantheists, panentheists, all kinds of people. They think they love the truth. They think they have the truth, but they don't. So the truth is found in God's Word, and all who do not uphold it as the final authority are not loving the truth of God and the nature of God's truthful words that just come out of his heart. And when it's inspired, in the writers of the prophets and the apostles, then it's by nature true. So you put on the truth of God by studying his word. That's what you do. And the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness.
Wow.
Yeah. Righteousness is a standing before God that is proper and good. The only way we can have righteousness is if we've trusted in Jesus Christ. Jesus is our righteousness. We're clothed ourselves with Christ. You can go to Galatians 3:27-28 for that. But what we're talking about here is that Jesus fulfilled the law perfectly and never sinned, 1 Peter 2:22. And the righteousness that we have is the righteousness that comes from God, Philippians 3:9. So because of that, we obtain that righteousness by the faith that God grants to us, Philippians 1:29, that is in Christ, John 6:29. And so when we have that faith, then we are imputed, reckoned with the righteousness of God by faith, Romans 5:1, Romans 4:5, Romans 3:28, Galatians 2:16, 2:21. Okay? Rapid fire.
Okay. Wow. That was quick and slick. Now, the shod our feet with the shoes, and I forget what that was, but also the helmet of salvation. How do we, in the 21st century, Matt, put the helmet of salvation on in the boots?
It's a lot of symbolism, so we don't know what it really exactly is meant. I think he's just using he's using hyperbole, poetry, exaggeration, and he's quoting varying things, you know, like having girded the loins with truth. It seems to be allusions to other things in the scriptures, though not direct quotes, but on the breastplate of righteousness and things like that. Maybe it's come from Isaiah 59:17, possibly. The helmet of salvation is on his head, but garments of vengeance for clothing, and wrapped himself in his zeal as a mantle. So this is out of the Old Testament. So there's a lot of stuff there that alludes to the Old Testament stuff. So basically what we're doing, what he's talking about, I think, is that there are different aspects of our Christian life, and we are to remember them. Now, why would he do this? Here's one of the reasons I think he does this. You see, gird your loins with truth. Well, you know what it means to put on a belt and have put on the breastplate of righteousness. You have a shield on your chest. And shod your feet at your shoes for the preparation of the gospel. Take the shield of faith, I know what that shield is, which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So he's just getting people to visualize the very things that might be upon them that they put on in their dress for warfare, in their battle, and be ready. So he's equipping people for war. Now, notice, you gird your loins.
Wait a minute, Matt. Yeah. Wait a minute. Christians are supposed to be warriors?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I thought we were supposed to be on our knees and just letting God fight our battles. I think there's a song that says that. I'm going to fight my battles on my knees.
But not only on your knees, you know. A lot of Christian theology today and songs move people towards apathy and inaction, you know, and I'm not saying that's a bad song that says that, but you know, I'll fight my battles on my knees. Well, I'm not negating that. We certainly do, but he also wants us to get up, as Jesus says in Luke 22:36 to the disciples. He's going to send them out into the world. Do you have a sword? No, go buy one. So when you gird your loins, what that was preparation for battle. Because you have a long robe on, and that's not conducive for quick movements, running, dodging, things like that. So they would take something, and they would gird up their clothing up towards their loins, and they put a belt or rope around it so they could move their legs freely. The breastplate of righteousness, this deals with battle. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. They would wear protective shoes, too. The shield of faith. Extinguish all the flaming arrows. This is warfare with the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. This is what Paul is teaching the Christians. You see? So,
absolutely.
But what's that?
I said, that's absolutely amazing, Matt, because I think, especially in today's churches, we're just taught to be so nice and so docile and submissive, Yeah, and pastor.
Yeah, because Jesus is the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer dude dressed in a woman's nightgown, knocking at the door of your heart, asking permission for you and your wisdom to let him in. And then he wouldn't hurt a fly. He wouldn't do anything. He wouldn't really turn over temple tables and take a cord of whip of cords and then drive people out of the temple. He wouldn't really call people whitewashed sepulchers and your father the devil. He wouldn't really say to the disciples, go buy a sword when you go out and you follow me into the world. Because that kind of
Jesus raised his voice.
Yes, he did. He had to raise his voice to preach and teach. He would raise his voice in rooms for people to hear. Now, there were rooms in the construction of things where they wouldn't have to speak very loudly. You could hear. But there, on a hillside, he's going to raise his voice to communicate. And if there's a bunch of people who are in wickedness in a crowd, he's going to raise his voice to communicate with them.
So he raised his voice to rebuke people.
Yes, to deal with them if he had to. The Jesus that's presented is the Jesus of convenience. We like the Jesus that doesn't require anything of us. We like the Jesus that we can feel good about in our songs and we can feel good about in church. That's the Jesus we want. And I would love to get up and preach a sermon. I haven't preached in a long time. I really miss it. But I'd love to preach a sermon on the manly Jesus and the warrior Christ. What he did on earth and what he said. And what Paul the Apostle, an apostle of Jesus, says we're to do. Now, people don't realize that you're going to be aggressive. I'm aggressive with my faith. I go into atheist rooms. I go into Catholic rooms. I go into the cult places. I go to them. And I battle with them. I'm a warrior for the Lord Jesus Christ in that sense. Now, not everybody can do that kind of a thing. Not everybody can. I get that. And if you can't, that's okay. But, you know, there are different kinds of callings. But the thing is, what's basically universally taught in churches is, sit down, do nothing, just pray, don't worry about it, go get some food. That's what I'm basically
hearing. And keep your voice down. Don't yell. Whatever you do, don't yell. Don't raise your voice. Even during the powerful worship songs, whatever you do, don't get boisterous, don't get emotional.
Well, just so you know, when I preach, I do get emotional, and I do get involved. My kids even called me, said, "Oh, you're gonna when you preach, you yell sometimes, Dad." I go, "Yeah, I do." It's not yelling, it's raising the voice to match the intensity and the importance of the Word of God that's being spoken right now. Folks, do you hear what I'm saying to you? I'll move out behind the pulpit, and I'll step towards the congregation, and I will move my hands up in the air, and I'll say, "Now listen to what I'm telling you right now. You need to hear this." I'll tell them. I'll teach them out of the Word of God. Walk back to the pulpit and continue. I take my preaching very seriously, and I wish I could preach more. But at any rate, okay.
Absolutely amazing. Go. Thanks so much for your for explaining that the spiritual armor. Greatly appreciated, Matt.
Yeah, we are to be in battle, not just against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities of the air. That's where our real battle is done. But we're to be involved in the world, fighting against evil, not sitting down letting unbelievers rule over us. That's sinful. All right, we got to go. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Excuse me there. Let's get to Scott from Ohio. Hey, Scott, welcome. You're on the air.
How you doing? Hey, I got my quick question here is, how do you witness to Catholics who are your family?
Oof.
They're the hardest ones to get.
Yeah, and One of the things,
I got some that are just so into it. I mean, they're going to the Latin masses. They got the beads. They got the trinkets mm-hmm. they're wearing. They got statues in their house, and they got kneelers in front of them. They got candles to them. They throw flowers at them. I mean, they're pretty hardcore.
Yeah, that's very unfortunate. So one of the things I witness a lot to Catholics, and I've developed something that I've found to be pretty good. Now, I'm not saying it's perfect, but I upset them with logic. And so what I'll do is I'll say, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God in flesh? And they'll say, well, yes. All right. Do you believe that Jesus forgives sins? Yes. Okay, good. If you were to pray and ask Jesus to forgive you, would he? That's the question I want to get to. If they say yes, well, then you can go straight to Jesus, right? And I'm not attacking their idolatry, you know, not right away, okay? Because, you know, their idolatry of Mary worship and works righteousness. So what I'm trying to do is get them to agree with what they already know, that Jesus is God in flesh, died on the cross, that he has all authority in heaven and earth, and that you can pray to Jesus specifically and ask him to forgive you of your sins. And then the question is, well, will he do that? And that's what I've done a lot. And it's effective. Mm-hmm. I've found that they see the logic but don't want to submit to the truth of what it teaches, because they want Mary. They want their priests. They want their works, because they've been brainwashed into false doctrines. So that's one of the things.
The problem is, you know, my dad was, I was born and raised Catholic until I was in my 40s. And but we never believed any of that stuff. But the only thing that was really the only about the church you had to pick from in the area. But dad always witnessed to him. We had prayer meetings on Monday nights, and he would say, that's not the way. Jesus is the truth, the light. You know, you can go straight to heaven. But he just kept, you know, we kept going to church there because really it was the only option we had in this area. But now he passed away, and then there's a church started, about 30 people in it, about a couple of years ago. So me and my wife said, we're done. I can't do this anymore. So we went to the new church, and now I'm an elder there. But we've grown from 30 to, well, I think last week we had 350 to 400 people, and most of them are ex-Catholics. But I can't get the family together.
Well, you know, you just got to keep praying for them and ask God to be merciful to them. You just do.
Yeah, but it's hard to, they don't even, well, they think we're nuts, for one. Yeah. You know, and most of my family's already left, most of them. But I got about two or three siblings yet that are, I mean, they actually went the opposite direction. Instead of listening to what Dad always said, I mean, Dad, before he died, the first last thing he says, you know, read your Bible daily at your roadmap to heaven. Jesus is the only way. Don't do anything else with that. You know, but they made posters, and they put this, we got them plastered. Everybody's got a plaque of that, what Dad said. But then, you know, some of them are just, they're so in-depth with the purgatory, and you can't talk to them even a little bit. They almost get you frustrated because you know, I know the truth. Once I seen the truth a few years ago, and then I turned, and they everybody knew. They've seen what person I used to be. You know, I used to do whatever I wanted to do and, you know, go to confession on Saturday and be good the rest of the week, you know, until next Saturday and do it all over again. You know, and but once you get born again, you see the light. You know, our church is a non-denomination, and we printed the whole Bible on the wall and wallpaper, and every verse is in the Bible's on it. And seek truth, live free, and our model's that. We bought brand new leatherback Bibles, and everybody comes in the door can get a brand new nice $50-$60 Bible. It's a study Bible. It's got the footnotes and everything in it. You know, we're really pushing it, and people are starting to see, you know what, we can read the Bible. We can, you know, get to have a relationship with God, because Catholics don't think there's a relationship there. They think it's all, you know, the grace is only given there if you do your part. You know,
it's a works righteousness stuff. Yeah, it's bad. But it's a false religion.
It is. And they would have been, my mother-in-law and father-in-law have been, you know, they don't, they're not strong Catholics. They're not weak Catholics, but that's all they've ever known. you know, but how do you get them, you know, I don't.
You don't.
Sometimes I tell my wife, I don't know. How do you, yeah, I know you don't, but how do you get them to think of, I guess,
look,
you know, I want to see them in heaven someday, but.
What you do is you got to pray. You got to ask God to open their hearts and their minds. And then you ask him to teach you what to say.
We've been doing that for the last 3 years.
Okay, continue. Yeah. And then you ask him, you ask him to teach you what you need to say. And you ask him also to quiet your heart so that in their presence that he speaks through you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you need to do.
Yeah. I just, the mom's kind of getting to the point of a little memory loss, and I don't want to get too far before she figures it out. I guess it's a tough situation, but all at the same time, there is a lot of them opening their eyes right now, which is praise the Lord, because this, like I said, we live in an area that's predominantly 90% Catholic, and now it's changing. We've grown from, like I said, 30 to 350 just in two short years, and we built a new building, and it's full already. So,
well, good.
I guess give God glory.
Amen. You're doing good work with people out there.
All right.
Amen. Okay, buddy.
All right. Thanks, sir.
Okay. Bye. God bless. Okay. All right. Well, we have about 7-8 minutes left in the show. Let's get to Don from Spokane. Don, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt.
Hi. How you doing?
So what is the difference between Sheol and hell? And where did Jesus go?
Sheol is a Hebrew, and hell or Gehenna is New Testament. So Sheol is the Old Testament, and hell is the New Testament. So it's Sheol is the place of darkness where the dead would go. The unrighteous would, both of them would really kind of go there. And where hell is the Gehenna, the equivalent of Gehenna, which was the fire that was burning outside of Jerusalem, and it was always right. burning. So it became a representation of you know, the eternal fires, which the Bible talks about. So there are differences that way, in some other particulars. So where did Jesus go when he died? He didn't go to hell, as some false teachers teach, that he went to hell and suffered there. No, that's not the case. He may have gone to the holding place, whether you want to call it Sheol, hell, or Abraham's bosom, but it looks like he went and made proclamation of the spirits now in prison. That's 1 Peter 3:18-19. And proclaim to them the gospel, not that they could get saved, but that they were under judgment. And then he led captive a host of captives, and that's out of Ephesians 4. This is one of the theories. And so he did not go to the darkness and suffer, as Kenneth Copeland and Joyce Meyer have taught. Those are heresies. So
was reading it, it just said he descended into. Mm-hmm. Sheol, and I always thought it was because he went to hell basically to go neener neener, you know, I'm the way, the truth, the light, duh, should have listened, gotcha, you know, I thought it was like that, but,
well, I wouldn't,
I don't know, somebody told me it was a neener neener.
I don't like using that kind of terminology in reference to Christ, but I get what you're saying. So it looks like I said, out of 1 Peter 3:18-19, that he was making proclamation, informing them why the situation is what it is, for their judgment to come, and the proclamation of the truth of who he was and what he'd done on the cross. It seems to, that's what I kind of think happened. But I reiterate this, there is no way he went to hell and finished the atonement there or suffered under demonic forces as the false teachers teach, like Kenneth Copeland and Joyce Meyer. Okay.
Yeah, I remember reading about Joyce Meyer saying that stuff, and I was like, no, that is not true.
You're right.
So.
You're right, it's not true. Oh, excuse me, nice yawn. So, yep, not true.
Cool.
Okay.
Well, thank you. Okay, I'm going to hang up.
Okay. Well, God bless. Okay. We'll see you.
You too. Bye.
All right. Let's get to Shabu from Virginia. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. I have the same questions. I'm wondering why she's asking my question. So the Apostle Creed says that he descended into hell. That is what the Apostle Creed says. So how come that came into the Apostle Creed?
Because the Apostles' Creed was only designed for meeting the needs that were appropriate at that time, and it used the phraseology, hell being the place of the abode of the dead. He went there. It doesn't mean he went to the hellfire place and suffered, as the word meaning has changed slightly. So that's what that's all that's going on. It looks like he went in, like I said, 1 Peter 3:18 and 19, and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison. Okay.
So you're saying that Jesus went to Abraham's bosom and took all with him to heaven after preaching victory over death to those in Hades? They were still there waiting judgment day.
I think I understood what you said, but yes, he went and made proclamation. This is why you guys are condemned, and and to the justified, the saved, this is why you're going with me to heaven. The basics, okay?
So Ephesians 4:8-10 says, wherefore he says, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That's the one, right?
Right, that's what the one references.
So the lower parts, even the earth, is the meaning here.
Sorry?
The lower parts. No, the higher parts, lower parts, even the earth.
Oh, lower and higher. Lower and higher parts of the. There might be. There's Tartarus, which is supposed to be even the deeper part, and it's actually spoken of in the New Testament as well. I forgot where exactly, but yep, it's there.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right, man. Okay, well, God bless. Okay. All right, so, ladies and gentlemen, I will not be live on the air tomorrow because I'll be going to Salt Lake City. I'll be speaking tomorrow night, Lord willing, at the Utah Christian Resource Center. Utah Christian Resource Center. And I'll be there at 5 o'clock tomorrow speaking on the Trinity, and then the same place on the next morning at 9 o'clock in the morning speaking on what you need to know to defend the Christian faith. And so if you want to check it out, just go to mrm.org, Mormonism Research Ministry, mrm.org, and you can just type in a research center, and it'll give the information. Or go to the website, carm.org, carm.org/calendar, and you'll find information there with the address and everything else, and hopefully we'll see you there. It'd be great to meet some people. So by God's grace, we'll see you. I'm out of here. Have a good evening, everyone. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.